Please pray with me. Almighty and ever-living God, the source and perfection of all virtues, please grant that I may employ myself in what is just and preach what is true, so that in my preaching and in my ministry I may provide for your faithful people the teaching that brings them grace. Amen. Amen. It appears to me that TV, radio, and websites present the United States as a more fractured, angry, and unpeaceful place than I can ever remember. And this year's presidential hopefuls aren't helping things very much. Please listen carefully to the following disclaimer. The following statements have been said or have been reported to have been said by the two major contenders for the President of the United States. Their usage is for illustrative purposes only, and do not reflect the views, opinions, or positions of the preacher, namely me. This week's Washington Post headline, Clinton's deplorables remark sums up a deplorable election season, proves our country is living through an unpleasant era. The comment spurring the headline was Ms. Clinton saying, "You know, to be grossly generous, that you can put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables." And Mr. Trump is no better, was no better, when he said, when Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're sending people that have lots of problems. Some, I assume, are good people. When any of us makes those types of comments, our words provoke us into living lives of disquietude and hostility instead of encouraging us to live quiet, cooperative, peaceful lives where we can come together and find useful, common, productive ground where solutions may be discovered concerning race, gender, sexual orientation, global warming, and police brutality, just to name a few. Challenging us to move forward with such an uncomfortable task, Pastor Brenton in the Welcoming Congregation, the Roots and Fruits of Christian Hospitality, wrote, "In America, we have got to learn to disagree without demonizing each other, and we need to restore civility. The challenge for such forums is to take both liberals and conservatives seriously, and not write off or disparage the beliefs of either wing of the church or the community." Paul, in his letter to Timothy, tells us the first thing we must do to learn to disagree without demonizing each other, restore civility, and lead quiet and peaceable lives with goodness and dignity, is to pray for everyone. And in our prayers for everyone, we are to ask God to help them and to bless them. And we are to tell God how thankful we are for them, whether we like them, whether we love them, or whether we loathe them. Concerning prayer for those for whom we would rather not pray for, Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote, "A Christian fellowship lives and exists by the intercession of its members for one another, or it collapses. I can no longer condemn or hate a brother or sister for whom I pray, no matter how much trouble they cause me. His or her face that hitherto may have been strange and intolerable to me is transformed in intercession into the countenance of a brother or a sister for whom Christ died, the face of a forgiven sinner. This is a happy discovery for the Christian who begins to pray for others. This is a happy discovery for Christians who begin to pray for others. If a Christian fellowship will collapse under the weight of not praying for the good, the bad, and the annoying within our midst, then the same must be true for our country, our state, our city, and even our families. Therefore, prayer is where we begin to be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, and we begin to be reconciled to God with each other, because without prayer, which is conversing with and listening to God, there can be no reconciliation with God or anyone else. Sisters Gwen Cashmore and Joan Poles are school sisters of St. Francis, an international community of Catholic sisters who unite with others to build a just and peaceful world. Together, they wrote this poem entitled Unity of All, Hanto Yo. Hanto Yo, by the way, means clear the way in the Lakota language of the North American plains. God of surprises, you call us from the narrowness of our traditions to new ways of being church, from the captives of our culture to creative witness for justice, from the smallness of our horizons to the bigness of your vision. Clear the way in us, your people, that we might call others to freedom and renewed faith. Jesus, wounded healer, you call us from preoccupation with our own histories and hurts to daily tasks of peacemaking, from privilege and protocol to partnership and pilgrimage, from isolation and insularity to inclusive community. Clear the way in us, your people, that we might call others to wholeness and integrity. Holy transforming Spirit, you call us from fear to faithfulness, from clutter to clarity, from a desire to control to deeper trust, from the refusal to love to a readiness to risk. Clear the way in us, your people, that we might all know the beauty and power and danger of the gospel. Prayer changes relationships. Families, communities, churches, and even countries. But the most important thing prayer changes is us. The most important thing prayer changes is us. When you leave worship today, I would like for you to take home the lectionary sheet. Daily read 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 7, and ask yourself these questions. Is there a rift that is separating you from someone significant? Is there a rift separating you from someone significant? What are you losing by losing this person's involvement in your life? What are you losing by losing this person's involvement in your life? And finally, and probably the most difficult one, is are you praying for the presidential candidate you least agree with? After you have answered those questions, follow Paul's instructions. Ask God to bless that person. Ask God to give you the courage, the strength, and the wisdom to cultivate reconciliation by revealing an opportunity to do what you can and the faith to trust in God to do the rest. Amen.